Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
How we pray can be pretty revealing. Maybe you've heard some of these famous kids' prayers. Dear God, it must be super hard to love all the people in the world, especially my brother. I don't know how you do it. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I grow up, but without so much hair all over. Dear God, did you mean for giraffes to look like that, or was it an accident? Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not have killed each other so much if they'd had their own rooms. It's worked out okay with me and my brother. Or, dear God, please take care of my daddy, mommy, sister, brother, my dog, and me. Oh, and please take care of yourself, God, because if anything happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess. When we listen to someone pray, we can learn a lot about who they are and what they believe. I love praying with old saints, like Nellie, who just passed away, the longest member here at the church. She remembers when this church was in its early stages in the 30s, you understand, in the 40s. Praying with old saints, but also praying with baby Christians. People are just beginning to talk to God. Because prayer, honest, vulnerable, true prayer, is real communication between us and God, between who we actually are and who we truly believe in. And I realize that that could be intimidating for us, especially if we think people are listening and judging our prayers, which I know some of you think, right? I know actually some of you who are new to the whole church scene, you went home at Christmas and somebody found out you went to church, and then guess who they asked to pray at the meal? I figure, hey, if you've been at church lately, you must be the one. And all the heads turned and thought, you hope not, right? You're like, keep your head down. Don't make eye contact. I don't want to be the one to pray for the meal. Sometimes we're worried about, especially if we're new to prayer, we're worried about making all our prayers perfect. You know, they got to be just right. When in actual fact, others around you are probably just glad you're the one trying to pray and nobody asked them. Thankfully, God is way bigger than our prayers, way bigger than our perceptions of him. And through his Holy Spirit, God is actually able to make out what we're trying to say, even when we're a bit confused in what we're saying or a bit confusing in how we say it. And that is good news. Kind of like an older sibling who has this incredible ability to understand the babbling of the younger sibling. Have you ever seen that? The younger kid comes up and goes, "Hum to yum yum dua." And then the older sibling says, "He wants some milk." How did you get that from that? God, it's kind of like that. He doesn't judge us for our babbling sounds. He doesn't dismiss us in our confusion. And what's more, he understands our babbling. He hears and answers our prayers according to his will and what's good for us. That's the wonderful grace of God. But that doesn't mean our prayers don't matter. It doesn't mean that we just, you know, they can remain incoherent and, you know, it doesn't really matter what we say. No, it doesn't mean they don't count. How we pray and what we pray and how we express ourselves and who we think we're praying to and what we say when we're expressing ourselves, that is our understanding of God, that actually indicates something of what we're understanding, of where we're at, of what we believe to be true, of what we reject as false. And our prayers can actually teach others what's true about God, what's true about us. That's why it's so important that we do pray together out loud, that we pray with our children out loud, that we pray with our friends out loud. And because God has given us his Holy Spirit, we actually grow in the knowledge of who God is and in communion with God as we're praying with God and as we're hearing others pray to God. But what if we could listen in on a perfect person praying a perfect prayer? What if we could get a sample of a prayer offered by someone who really did know who God is and was able to represent God accurately in their prayers? Wouldn't that be cool? What would we learn if we were to hear such a prayer? How would our understanding of God grow? What would we come to understand about ourselves? Or how would we be drawn into communion with God through that prayer? How might we grow in wisdom through a prayer like that? Well, today we're made privy to a prayer by a perfect prayer, Jesus, the Son of God. And through his prayer, we're drawn into a deeper understanding of who God is, of who Jesus is, and of who we are. Through his prayer, just a few lines long, the heart of God is revealed and the core of the gospel is unveiled. We're continuing in our masterclass series in Luke today, and Luke relays a beautiful moment when Jesus paused to praise his Father. He does it out loud, he does it publicly, he does it in front of everyone in a way that is profoundly revealing. So we got our wish. We've been made privy to a powerful prayer, and through this prayer, we will grow in wisdom. We're back in Luke chapter 10. Jesus has just heard the after-action reports from 72 of his apprentices who've just come back from a mission trip. And they're exuberant over what they were able to accomplish in Jesus' name. People healed, demons hurled, you know, all the things. And Jesus affirms the good work that was done, saying that the ripple effects of their ministry was devastating to the evil one. But as happy as they were about this, Jesus reminds them of where their true joy must lie, not in what they've done for God, but in what he's done for them. Or as Jesus puts it, they are not to rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And that's a revealing moment, teaching profound truth. Sometimes the greatest danger to our security and confidence in Christ is misplaced joy in the success of the moment, success which can easily change. That was last week's message, and you can find that on YouTube or Apple Podcasts or on our website. But it's right at that moment that Jesus pivots to prayer, and that's where we're going to focus today. Because through this prayer, Jesus reveals something crucial to us about his Father, about himself, and about us. So let's listen. It's a short passage, Luke chapter 10, verses 21 to 24. If you have a paper Bible or digital on your phone, maybe you want to download the YouVersion app. It's a great app. You can pick your translation. You can pick your language if you'd like. And follow along in there. And there's also a few Bibles available under the chairs in your seats. Luke chapter 10, verses 21 to 24. And it goes like this. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." First thing we notice is that Jesus, who's full of joy through the Holy Spirit, praises the Father for his grace-filled revelation. Jesus praises the Father for being the kind of God who doesn't play favorites with the smart or the schooled, with the wise or the learned. In fact, it's just the opposite. The Father actually seems to like to hide things from them. Rather than rewarding the smart and then punishing the dumb, The Father is pleased, Jesus tells us and gives him praise for that, to reveal himself and what he's doing to people who don't actually deserve it and would never have been able to figure it out otherwise. And right there, in his opening praise, Jesus reveals something central about God the Father's character and central to the whole Christian faith. That true God knowledge, true life-transforming wisdom, true revelation is not based on merit or lineage or wealth or smarts. All the things that normally advantage people in life are of no advantage here. True revelation is a gift from the Father, which he loves to give to the most unlikely people. We see this all through the biblical story, don't we? God loves to upset the expectations. He loves to reverse the order of things. He loves to surprise everyone with who gets in and who gets left out. Jesus, in another place, several other times in the Gospels, he reminds people how often that the first shall be last and the last first. Very obvious throughout the story of Scripture. And now Jesus publicly praises the Father for being that kind of a God. The Apostle Paul, in the letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he captures it this way. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Right at the core of the Christian faith is God's unmerited grace, saving us not because of what we've done, because we're smart enough, or we got enough wherewithal, or we were in the right place at the right time, but because of what he did through Jesus without any help from us. Salvation, rescue, being brought back into relationship with God is all grace through trusting faith in Jesus. It's all a gift from God. And Jesus is praising the Father right here because Jesus knows this is who the Father is. This is his character. This is his very essence. That God is a Father who does not favor the wise or the learned, but delights in revealing truth to people who never would have expected to get it. Through Jesus, in his prayer here, we're actually receiving profound revelation. How his love and grace doesn't depend on all the things that would normally give us a leg up. I don't know what kind of things that we look at today and what things in your life might be things that would be considered an advantage. Maybe it is your smarts. We're thankful that you're smart. We need you to be smart. Maybe it's your wealth. Maybe it's your upbringing or your ambition. Maybe it's the position you've had or have. Maybe you just are good looking. And we're thankful for that too. But none of that determines God's self-revelation through Jesus Christ. And for the rest of us who aren't very smart and aren't good looking and don't have a lot of ambition and haven't had a lot of luck, we are very grateful for that. Amen? Because what we see is, in the mystery of how all this works, the very people who are the most advantaged are often the people who most miss. Because what we discover is that it's not as though God is barring them, but what we discover is that that wealth and that privilege and that prestige and those smarts are often the very things that get in the way. They need to actually let it go and come to the Father humbly, like a little child, in order to receive the gift that's available to everyone. And this is one of the reasons why we have no reason to be proud that we kind of made it in, you know? Proud that we're in the inside crowd with Jesus. There's no room for pride. We're not part of God's family because we are good. We're part of God's family because he's good. And in fact, if you look around at the people who make up the church, you'll notice an above average percentage of below average people. Not this church, but most churches. The Church of Jesus is the oddest collection of misfits and miscreants that God ever deemed to save. Not based on the goodness that they somehow carried, but based on his goodness for his glory, his grace being revealed. And sometimes the sin and frailty of God's people can be very discouraging to us. Sometimes the sin and frailty that we look at in ourselves is also very discouraging to us and to others. But we must always remember this, the Father was pleased to reveal himself to people who didn't deserve it, who hadn't done enough, who weren't smart enough or intelligent enough or advantaged enough. The Father was pleased to reveal himself to people who didn't deserve it because of who he is. And we're very, very thankful for that. And through these misfits, through us, God is making his incredible grace known to others. Because no one's going to look at the church and say, well, they were pretty good anyway. You know, all they need is a little bit of a brush up, and they were great. No, that's not what people say when they look at the church. They go, whoa, whoa. Yeah, they need church. That's what they say. Right? For most. Down through history, that's also been true. In another letter, Paul reminds Christians of how low God really did go when he saved them. In 1 Corinthians 1, he says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. He's asking them to think back to exactly what kind of people you were. And then he says, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. There might have been a few in there, I guess. There always is. But that was not the characteristic of that church. In fact, Paul goes on to say, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that were not, you know. What an encouraging letter from Paul, hey? You kind of begin to get a perspective, like, what are you saying, Paul? He's writing a letter back to this church that he loves so much, and you're telling us. What did he really think when he showed up, when he first started telling us about Jesus? Well, you're getting a little picture. He knew who he was talking to. He said it. God did all this. He chose the foolish and the weak and the lowly and the despised and the things that were not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It's because of him you are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. In other words, none of that good stuff, none of the salvation, none of the righteousness, none of the holiness, none of the redemption was somehow located in you or your smarts or your intelligence. No, it was all located in God through Jesus Christ, and he gifted it to you. You were nothing special, but man, he loves you. Therefore, as it is written, and he concludes this way, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. You can brag all you want, just not about yourself. Brag about Jesus. Brag about what God has done. When we look around us and when we look in the mirror, we see frail people in need of God's grace. And we need to see just how pleased the Father was to bring his salvation and grace and love even to you, even to them, even to that guy and her. So we can brag and boast in the Lord. Which is what Jesus is doing here, because he opens up by praising the Father for his amazing grace that he was pleased to reveal it to them. The second thing we notice is that Jesus, while he's praising the Father for his gracious revelation, he reveals himself to be the one through whom the Father is actually revealed. Grace-filled revelation from God is Jesus. Jesus is God's grace-filled revelation. All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. You can't know God the Father without knowing God the Son, because God the Son is the one who has exclusive proprietary rights on revealing God the Father. Over in John 14, which we heard read a little earlier in our service, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then a little later he says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And Jesus, right here in this prayer, tells us that he's the key. He's the portal. He's the window. He's the means of all divine revelation, all God knowledge, all true reality, and therefore all true wisdom. And just as the Father loves to reveal himself to the most lowly, he also loves to reveal himself through the most lowly. through Jesus, who came as a man, who came humbly, who came in a way that no one expected, that through Jesus, that's through whom the Father was pleased to reveal himself to the most least, the most lowly, the least likely. In other words, the Father decided, I'm going to show myself through Jesus in a way no one would expect. Now to those no one would expect to get it, people like us. And Jesus, we're told, Jesus says it, he picks the people who get the gift. Jesus is the one who chooses who gets the revelation of the Father, chooses to reveal the Father to people. And this is super important. No one else gets the pick, just Jesus. And we should be breathing a sigh of relief for this. Imagine if you let me get the pick. Or you. Or your neighbor. Your brother-in-law. Imagine. Just imagine some people in your life that you thought, what if they were in charge of the pick? Well, thankfully, no one else is in charge of picking. It's Jesus. Now, that could scare us if we didn't realize who Jesus was. If we forgot who Jesus is. But when we remember who Jesus is, when we see his life played out in the four Gospels, when we begin to realize this is the character of God revealed through Jesus, this humble, loving, gracious, calling all into relationship with him, when we begin to see this Jesus who heals people, who enters into the brokenness of people's lives and changes them, when we see Jesus who came and did everything possible so that we can actually be freed from death and live forever, flourishing now and for eternity, when we realize this is who Jesus is, we think, oh, good, he's getting the pick. Because Jesus is not stingy. He's not miserly in his picks. We realize how generous Jesus is in revealing himself to anyone who will humble themselves and look. Anyone who looks at Jesus lives. And Jesus wants all people to know who his Father is. He wants all people to get in on what God has done for them. And so he's constantly calling people. He's constantly sending his disciples. He's constantly sending his people out to tell people, to show people, to demonstrate people to people what God has done, what is happening, how they can get in on God's life. He wants everyone to know who he is and come to the knowledge of the truth. Come and see Jesus' calling by his Holy Spirit, through his people, through creation, through his word, over and over again. Come and see, come and see, come and live, come and live. But make no mistake about it. There's no alternate path. There's no other person through whom we can come to know the Father. There's no other method through whom we can receive true revelation and true wisdom. It's Jesus or it's nobody. Acts 4:12, when these first apostles of Jesus were standing up in front of some hostile people, they were kind of upset by that message, and they declared with confidence that salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It's Jesus or it's nobody. In the Proverbs and in the Psalms, we hear the repeated refrain, and we heard it this morning from Psalm 111, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we explored that a bit last summer in our wisdom hunting series, how this fear of the Lord is not about shaking with terror in front of a God who's going to hurt you. But rather, this fear of the Lord is a holy, awe-filled reverence before this holy God, realizing that he is God and we are not. Realizing, hear my distinction here, realizing that if he were not so good and so gracious, if that were not his character, then we would be consumed because we are unholy and unworthy. But he is good. He is gracious. He is kind. So we are not only not consumed, but we are loved, we're saved, we're drawn in, and we belong to him. And the only way to understand this gracious, kind Father, the only way we can have a true fear of the Lord, not cowering in terror, but leaning in with holy awe, is to see what the Father has done for us through Jesus, to rescue us from sin, to redeem us from death, so that we can be recreated in his image and ultimately live in reunion with him. The fear of the Lord springs from this knowledge of his gracious love in Jesus. And true fear of the Lord, this reverent, awe-filled gaping at the Father who has revealed himself in Jesus, it leads us to praise him for his grace, to worship and wonder at his goodness, to be amazed at just how much he has loved us. And it's all here, right here in this prayer of Jesus, that we praise the Father and the Son for their grace, for their goodness being revealed to us. What a blessing that is to us. And that's why Jesus here at the end finishes his public prayer by privately reminding his followers just how blessed they really are to get in on this. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, he says. For I tell you that many prophets and kings, insert people a heck of a lot better than you, Lot. Prophets and kings wanted to see this stuff and they never got in on it. But you did. You've been let in on the greatest revelation since the dawn of time. The greatest secret hidden down through the ages is now being played out right in front of you for all to see, and you're getting in on it. Do you know how blessed you are? Not because you're smart, Peter. Not because you're smart, right? Not because you're holy, Judas. Or worthy, Thomas, you know. I'm sure he didn't insert those little things there, but I like to think he looked around the room when he said it. Know that you're blessed because the Father delights in upsetting expectations, and you guys are upsetting expectations. Acts chapter 4, the scripture I just quoted a moment ago, when these guys are in front of this holy council that's judging them, one of the things they said is, how do these guys learn so much? What? Aren't they farm boys from up north, you know? How do they know what they're talking about? They're upsetting expectations. God loves to do that. Prophets and kings didn't get this revelation. He decided to reveal his grace to you and through you. Do you know how blessed you are? And that knowledge, God's grace, Jesus choosing and our blessing, that is actually the foundation of true wisdom. For it's from there that our fear of the Lord then springs into worship. And as we worship, we are then deepened in wisdom, and around it goes, mutually reinforcing. As we worship the Father, we grow in wisdom. As we grow in wisdom, we worship him even more. We find that through worship, even those of us who are foolish are being made wise, wise in him. And that's really the practical application for us today. It really all comes down to worship. And so as we close, I want to kind of make two calls today to you. The first is that I want to call to those of you who perhaps would be here today or joining us online or listening later, who would say, I've never really worshiped because I've never really come to God and said yes to him and what he did for me through Jesus. And so I want to talk, first of all, to those of you who are here online who maybe this would be a first-time thing for you, where you'd say, I want to worship. I want to bow my heart to Jesus. I want to be able to praise him for what he's done, but I've never actually said yes to him. I've never actually said I was sorry for screwing everything up, and I want to come to Jesus, and I want to follow him. And so I want to lead you in a prayer today. And I'm going to ask everyone, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, whether you're ready to pray this prayer or not, I want to ask that everyone does close their eyes and pray together. But for those of us who are here or with us, I just want to lead you in a simple prayer of worship for the first time. And so if you would pray with me. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for showing who the Father is to us. And right now, I want to pray very specifically for and with those of us who want to say yes to you, perhaps for the first time. And so keeping our eyes closed, I just want to say for those who are here today or joining us online, If you are in that spot today where you're saying, yeah, I want to say yes to Jesus. I stand here today and I know that I can't do anything to earn God's love and favor, but because of who God is, he's given it to me. And I want to receive that. And the simplest way to do that is to pray a simple prayer that says, I'm sorry, that says please, and says thanks. And so if you want to just follow along with me in your heart, with these words, I will pause after each phrase and you can say them in your mind. And for the rest of us, we'll just remain in prayer with you. So pray with me. Dear Father, I am sorry for my sin. I am sorry for the ways I have turned away from you. I want to come back. I want to turn away from being my own boss, and I want to follow you. Please forgive me of my sin. Please come into my life. Please give to me salvation and your Holy Spirit. Please accept me through what Jesus has done as your child. Thank you, God, for hearing my prayer. Thank you for accepting me as your child. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me and rising again from the dead for me. And thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who lives in me now. Amen. Now, if that was a prayer that you prayed today, I encourage you to come and either talk to me or following my message over here, Mike and Leslie LeBlanc will be there ready to pray with you as well. And so if that was you today, we want to celebrate with you, but we also want to give you some direction. And if those of you who have been with us online, I know this is a little less, you know, easy to do perhaps, but I just want to invite you to email myself or email the church email. So my name is Tom Greentree, tomgreentree@gmail.com. If you email me, we can follow up with that decision and that prayer. We would love to encourage you. And so that is the first step. So the wisest thing you can do is say yes to the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And so if that was you, we want to follow up. But for all of us, it's a call to worship. Whether we're worshiping for the first time or the 500th time or the 5,000th time, we are called in this to keep worshiping the Father and the Son by the Holy Spirit. To, like Jesus, full of joy from the Holy Spirit, be able to lift our hearts and our lives and say, Father, thank you for being the God that you are. To praise the Father for his grace given to us. To praise Jesus for revealing the Father to us so beautifully and perfectly through his life and his teaching and his example. For praising the Holy Spirit for coming into us and filling us with joy and with gratitude. We are called to worship and know that as we worship, Jesus grows wisdom in us. Not because we were wise to begin with, but because by his Spirit, he's gifting us wisdom through Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericksoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.